In these last days, the Bible predicts a turning away from biblical truth. In order to combat false teachings that are running rampant and a growing lack of biblical literacy, Behold Israel provides weekly public readings of Scripture to equip you with the pure Word of God, read in an international community with interaction and application. Each week, we host different guests from all walks of life. Original readings can be found on our Behold Israel community channel on YouTube or on our Facebook channel. These are audio versions created to make it convenient for your busy schedule. Now, on to our readings.
Well, good evening. My name is Steve Yon. I am the senior editor and writer at Behold Israel, and you have joined us for the public reading of Scripture for this weekend. This is a very special time where we're here to celebrate the Word of God. We spend a lot of time just reading to ourselves, but not often do we take that opportunity to listen to the Word of God being read, much the way that it was for centuries, millennia. The primary way that the Word of God was communicated was orally. So we're just very excited to take this time tonight to celebrate God's Word. And when I say we, it's because I'm not here alone. I have got my favorite guest and my favorite person in the world, my dad, Rick Yon. Pop, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks a lot. What a privilege to read the Word of God, because, you know, for many, many years, no one had a Bible. Everything was in scrolls. And so they had to hear the Word of God read by going to the synagogue and then having someone up there and unrolling the scroll and reading the Word of God. And if it was good enough for them, it should be good enough for us, because God does wonderful things through the reading of His Word.
That's true. Very true. And I want to let folks know one more time, this is Rick Yon. And the reason I want to emphasize his name is because I saw in the comments the last time the two of us were together, you being referred to as Steve's dad. And I don't think that we could ever say that you are Steve's dad. I will be your son. You don't have to be known as my dad.
I think that's right. I am proud to be known as Steve's dad.
Well, you may recognize my dad's name from the cover of Revealing Revelation. And it's also going to be on the cover of the upcoming book, Discovering Daniel, coming out in May. He collaborated with Amir, came alongside him to write both of those incredible books. So we're very excited about that. Now, speaking of Amir, I don't know if how many of you had the opportunity to see his breaking news from today. It's very powerful. He's talking about Iran and the threats that Iran made. And I don't want to get into the nuts and bolts of that. Go watch it on YouTube. It's very important just to see what's taking place. But I want to emphasize that the toll on the Israeli people. Amir will never come out and say, boy, this is just so hard to live under this. Or, you know, very rarely will he say that. But just as he and I were talking earlier today, he said, just, you know, imagine at any time we could have this attack come raining down on our house. And living that way day by day under that kind of threat, it's a difficult thing. So in that update, he asked for prayer. And that's how I want to start today. I want to start with a time of prayer, praying for our time together, but also praying for Amir, his family, and praying for Israel. Amen. So, Lord, we come before you and we lift Amir to you. We are so thankful for the gifts that you've given him, the wisdom that you've given him, the communication skills that you've given him, the heart that he has for his people, the heart that he has for the world, the heart that he has for you. And communicating your gospel, communicating the news through the lens of Bible prophecy. As Lord, we ask that you protect him, protect his family, protect those of his children who are in the military right now. Watch over all of them. And we pray not just for Amir and his family, but for all Israel. All people in Israel are living under that same sort of threat. So we lift up the people of Israel. We also lift up the people of Lebanon. We lift up the people of Iran who are living under these despotic, terrible governments. As Amir said today, the Lebanese people are wonderful people, but they're being governed by tyrants. The same thing in Iran with that radical Islam
government.
So we just pray for them, that you protect them and that you rescue them from this terrible tyranny that they live under. Lord, we give this time into your hands. We're here to celebrate your word, but by celebrating your word, most of all, we're here to glorify you. So this is your time. And again, we give it into your hands. Bless us, Lord, as we read your word. Amen. Now, Dad, we are in Zechariah, and I'm going to read chapter 7, then you're going to read chapter 8. But first, we were talking just before we went on about chapter 7, and you pointed out some very interesting background. So if you just want to quickly share the background to chapter 7 and the fast.
Yes. A couple of men come to Jerusalem. They were brought up in Babylon, so they have Babylonian names, and they come and ask about the fourth fast, and then there's a fifth fast, and there's a sixth and the seventh, and they were wondering, should they continue that fast? Well, the fast that they were talking about, the fifth fast, I think it is, when Israel, when Jerusalem was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And then you're going to hear about the seventh fast, and that fast really was on Yom Kippur, but they weren't celebrating Yom Kippur. They were celebrating the murder of a man named Gedaliah. You read about him in the book of Jeremiah. And
he was the governor that Nebuchadnezzar left in charge.
Yeah.
The exile. Yeah.
And so they were getting everything mixed up because they were looking on all the externals when God is saying, I'm looking at the heart. You have everything you were doing is just external. So where is that heart? And that's what you're going to be reading. And then I'm going to be able to have a wonderful chapter dealing with the future of Israel because of a loving God.
Great. All right. Well, let's start with Zechariah 7. And as always, we're reading from the New King James Version. Now, in the fourth year of King Darius, it came to pass that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, Kislev, when the people sent Sharezer with Regemmelech and his men to the house of God to pray before the Lord and to ask the priests who were in the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month and fast as I have done for so many years? Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me? When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? Should you not have obeyed the words which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous, and the south and the lowlands were inhabited? Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice. Show mercy and compassion, everyone, to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears so they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his spirit through the former prophets. Thus, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it happened that, just as he proclaimed, and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate.
Wow. And now in chapter 8, you're going to see seven times that phrase, thus says the Lord. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal. With great fervor, I am zealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west. I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God, in truth and righteousness. Thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong. You who have been hearing in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets who spoke in the day of the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord of hosts, that the temple might be built. For behold, these days there were no wages for man, nor any hire for beast. There was no peace from the enemy, for whoever went out or came in. For I set all men, everyone, against his neighbor. But now I will treat the remnant of this people as in the former days, says the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give its fruit, the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these. And it shall come to pass that just as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Do not fear. Let your hands be strong. For thus says the Lord of hosts, just as I determined to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, and I would not relent, so again in these days I am determined to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. These are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. Yes. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor. And do not love a false oath. For all these are the things I hate, says the Lord. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be joy and gladness and cheerful feasts for the house of Judah. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. Thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go to God. Let us continue to go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus said the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you.
Wow. A little different than what we're seeing around the world today.
Oh, my.
The grasping of the sleeve. Let us go with you. Now, seems everyone's separating. But what do you think from those chapters stand out to you?
Well, just the contrast between what they were living under for so many years because of their disobedience and the promise that God made to them as to what they could have. And it just reminds me of in our own lives, when we go our own way, God basically says, if that's the way you want to go, that's up to you. But I have so much over here. I have this wonderful plan for your life. There's so much I want to show you and so much I want to tell you and so much I want you to experience under my guidance and my power. But you're going your direction.
Yeah.
And so you're experiencing your things. And that's exactly where Israel was, doing their own thing, not wanting to be a light to the nations, but rather wanting to be like all the other nations.
Yeah.
And so often in our own lives, we want to be loved by everybody and don't want to pay any kind of a price. And so our desire is to blend in to the crowd rather than standing out for the glory of God.
Well, because our thought is always, God will still be there. God will always be there, and he'll forgive me, so it'll all work out. I love the picture in chapter 7 where he says, God was telling you what to do, but what did you do? You covered up your ears, you stopped up your ears, you're like, la, 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 I don't want to hear it. And now when you're praying to God and saying, come help us, what's God doing? He's going, la, 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 I don't want to hear it either.
Yeah.
But there's a difference, because while God is covering his ears for that time being, he's got a plan.
Yes.
And the plan is exactly what you talked about. God's plan for Israel always ends up with grace and mercy and forgiveness. We see that in Romans 11. And so at that time, at the second coming, all Israel will be saved, because God will give them that opportunity to give their lives to him at that end. So even when we look at Israel right now, and I know one of the struggles that Amir is really feeling right now is so many Christians who turn their back on Israel and say that it's not the people of God anymore. Well, no, they're still the people of God. And even though they're secular, even though they're doing this, la, 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 God is still there. And God's got a plan, because our God is a God of eternal love with an eternal plan, not just for Israel, but for his children, the church, his children that we'll see in the tribulation, his children, all those who give their lives to him.
And I love that passage that at that time, referring to the millennium, the old man and the old lady with their cane in their hand, they're going to see the little children playing around. That'll be a wonderful time.
Yep. Well, we're going to move on to Corinthians now, and we're starting this new letter. This is a letter that's different from most of the others. You know, Galatians, Paul had gone a little salty with the Galatians, but the Corinthians, Paul had heard a report that the Corinthian church was not living the way that it should live. There were a lot of problems. So we'll see in chapter 1, he comes out, he gives an obligatory, oh yeah, I'm so thankful for you. And then he launches in. And this letter led to a whole lot of problems that eventually led to the Corinthians straightening up. And that's what finally brought about 2 Corinthians, which I'm sure we'll get to in, do the math there, about 2 months. So let's start with 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Get a little graphic going here. Here we go. All right. The Epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the end of the good stuff.
Now,
I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where's the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to those, to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness, but to those who were called, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised. God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord.
Amen. And that phrase, the world through wisdom did not know God. And that's where the world is today. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Wow. Contrast between the wisdom of the world and the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this world is so wrapped up in knowing more and more. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to know more. Both you and I, we love to study. We love to learn. Mm. But we also recognize that there is a cap to what we can know.
Right.
Especially when we're talking about the most important things. Mm. I'm just finishing. I mentioned to you earlier today, I'm listening to a history of the First World War. That's knowledge that I want to gain, but in the grand scheme of things, it's just that. It's when it comes to the spiritual, when it comes to the eternal, it's foolishness compared to just the simplicity of salvation by grace through faith. Something that makes no sense to the people with the big heads, the big brains, but that every person can understand if they just listen and they just trust God.
You know, if they really knew the word of God, there would be no one against Israel. And those who are against Israel, many of them have no idea what they are chanting, have no idea why they are doing what they are doing. They are deceived. But when you get into the word of God, you realize that they are under the curse of God, because God promised Abraham that those who bless you, I will bless, and those who curse you, I will curse.
Yeah.
And so there may be some short-term victories by the enemy, but there's going to be a long-term victory by God doing what he can only do through and for the nation of Israel, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord.
Amen. Well, we are both former pastors and preachers, which means we'll just keep going. So we better shut it down. And with the words you just posed with, Why don't you wrap up our time with a prayer and then we'll...
Lord God, how precious you are to us. We are undeserving of all the things you have done for us and the things you are doing in our lives now. But we are so grateful for your Holy Spirit who dwells permanently in our lives, who helps us understand when we read the scriptures, who empowers us to do things that we may be fearful of doing, but when the time comes, you give us that power. You give us that wisdom. You even give us the words to speak. May you continue to operate in our lives freely and all for the glory of God and for the benefit and the encouragement of others. We pray these things in that precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for coming by, Steve's dad.
It's my privilege. I love reading the Word of God.
Well, again, it's Rick Yon, and it's been a blessing having you here, and I will talk with you soon. Bob.
Sounds good.
I just cut off my own dad. That's wrong. Yeah, fix that. So, everyone, thank you for coming by. It was such a blessing to have you. What a tremendous opportunity to spend time in the Word of God, and especially to hear the insights from a man like my dad who has spent decades and decades studying the Word and communicating that. So I hope you have a wonderful night, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.